It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The madness grows in this sick society. Posers laud shallow youth for their empty fads. Phonies seek out vain celebrities for instruction. Slaves glorify globalist parasites for their stolen wealth and power. Politicians are puppets, not leaders. Sheep wear masks and accept deadly vaccines. In these dark times, the wise must lead us. So we call the Wisdom Circle. Each week, Scorpio and Giuseppe will call upon the sages, the learned, the pragmatic, to discuss the great problems and distill the great solutions. Here is the leader of the Wisdom Circle, Scorpio.
Okay, welcome to the Wisdom Circle. Yeah, today's date is November 11. Getting near my birthday, guys. All right. Well, I've been without internet for the last couple of days, and if they had dropped a nuclear bomb somewhere, I wouldn't have known it. So, Giuseppe, how are you, man? What's going on? Okay.
Now you can hear me.
Yeah, baby.
That's we were worried about you, man. Yesterday, I need to know, the professor wondered if your new cologne had so erotically inflamed a local yak that the lovemaking session tore you up.
No, I survived. I'm okay. But
good.
Totally out of touch with the world, which was since Monday, actually. So it was kind of good in a way, like just wondering, well, you know, what happened? I got to the point, well, who cares? So,
right. That's really cool. You know, I was thinking that same thing, too. It's just so so messed up, so satanically evil, all this despicable machinations to try and gain power for the globalists, or if Donald Trump gains power, we like to think it's for the nationalists and for the populists, but it'll really be for the Zionists. Although if he wins, holy shit, with BB Nutty A-hole stabbing him in the back that way, wow, I'd like to see Trump win just to see that fractured relationship. That'd be something.
Yeah, didn't Netanyahu already congratulate Groper Joe on his victory?
Yeah, like Saturday, right away.
It was, wow.
Yeah.
That's friendship that? You can count on, huh? Yeah, baby.
What a good buddy.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I got a funny story, man. There's some weird shit going down here. So yesterday I went to the pharmacy just to buy some vitamins and some other stuff. And so there's this new pharmacy that opened, and like this couple runs it, you know, this like they're in their 30s, nice couple. And you know, I was talking to them, and they both had their masks on, you know, and these like a surgical cap on top of their head. I don't know what you call it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just about to call you on the show. I'm just about to call you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So anyway, so I don't know what you call those things, like the surgical, they have the mask and the surgical caps on their heads, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's called, a surgical cap, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm talking to him, and I'm like, well, ¿tienes miedo de virus? And which means, are you afraid of the virus? And the guy goes, well, no, not really. And he goes, then he asked me, I said, oh, no, this is a complete scam. It's, you know, once you open the door, then people open up. I said, oh, no, this is a complete scam. It's a cold. It's nothing more. And he goes, check this out. Cause like, they're both like, he's a doctor, like not a full, like they have different levels of doctors here.
Uh-huh.
So he's like a junior doctor. So he can do, you know, diagnosis and minor stuff, and he can dispense medicine.
Like a physician's associate here in the United States.
Yeah, I think so. Basically. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. And so he told me, he goes, well, since I'm a doctor, I had to take a COVID test, you know, like a month ago, and I came back positive.
Jeez.
And he said, there's nothing wrong with me. I feel great. I don't have any symptoms, but they said I was positive. So I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And he goes, this is, you know, bogus. I'm like, yeah, man, this is a, and once you tell people, especially in South America, say, look, this is una estafa. It's a scam to get more power for the government and to steal more money from the people. People, oh yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. Cause they just assume that anyway down here, you know?
Yep. That's very cool, man. That's a good story. That, I mean, it's just such a blatant scam. And talk about somebody who knows. I know what I need to do. Shoot. All right. First, let's call Michael Ivey, and he knows all about his. He's a researcher. He's on the Need to Know commentary team with us, with the legendary Jim Fetzer. Need to Know, the Fetzer Report, Monday through Friday,
yeah.
Live on Twitter, Facebook, and what's the third? YouTube. And so people are saying, Mr. Michael Ivey, how Michael? Are you?
Here we go.
Michael here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, Kent. How's my audio?
You know what I got to do is I have to do something really quick, and which is I need to share the screen to BitChute with audio share. Okay, Michael. can you hear him now, Scorpio? Michael, are you there?
Hello, Michael here.
All right, here we go.
There he is.
One, okay. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, Michael Ivey, my personal guru, man. Good to hear from you.
Hey, are we on yet?
Yeah, we're live, baby. Buddy.
I am cruising deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. That sounds like a song.
So people, listeners may or may not know, Michael, that you were born in Texas and Fort Worth area, I believe, and have friends and family there, and you now reside in Asheville, North Carolina. You're a retired investigator and curate a phenomenally good truth, real news email list, as well as you're a regular commentator on Jim Fetzer's increasingly popular new show, Need to Know the Fetzer Report. And you just, we were just talking before you came on the air about Scorpio. It ran into a young doctor in Ecuador who was wearing a mask and a surgical cap. And go ahead, Scorpio, and kind of fill Michael in.
Yeah, I'll just briefly retell the story. So this doctor, you know, he has a pharmacy, so he's like a physician's assistant. And so, you know, he had a mask and a surgical cap on, you know, and I said, well, hey, are you afraid of this virus? And he goes, well, no, I'm not, because, you know, as a doctor, I had to take a test like a month ago, a COVID test, and I came up positive. They said I was positive. And he said, I have no symptoms. I feel great. Nothing's wrong with me. But they said I'm positive. And so he sees right through the whole thing. He said that the government is, you know, if you own a pharmacy, you have to wear a mask all day, because if the government agent comes there and catches you, you know, they'll shut your pharmacy down. But here's just another story of someone that tested positive, no symptoms, no nothing, and now he sees through the whole scam.
Yeah, one of the people that I'm intending to visit while I'm in Texas is my sister. So I called her a couple of nights ago to work out the schedule, and she hadn't tested positive, but she had been around somebody who tested positive. So she was self-quarantining and had gone in the next day and gotten a test.
What a joke, man.
She's a complete believer in the whole thing and the validity of the testing. And so it was lucky that her test came up negative, or I wouldn't have been able to see her at all.
I'm astounded that any tests come up negative, because listeners may or may not know that this is a globalist satanic scam of epic proportions to destroy sovereign nations and the economies and pull all the sheeple, the cattle, the goyim into the Great Reset, which is globalist totalitarian control. There's no longer going to be cash. Everything's going to be a digital currency. Are going to be regulated by a social credit score. So if you're on a show like this, oops, wow, all your money's gone from your account. You've been a bad boy. You better repent and get on your knees and bow to the state, the overlord, the globalist controllers, as well as the truly maniacally evil intent to vaccinate every human on the earth, keep them sick, kill a lot of them with, this is truly a eugenics program, and the ones that can function with these toxic, deadly vaccines are a type of mutated transhuman that can be controlled, because you'll also be chipped like an animal. And so it's just so satanically evil, and yet there's the power of the gaslighting globalist media to convince people that the cult, the religious cult of Big Pharma, which is allopathic corporate medicine, is actually trustworthy. You know, the only time I trust allopathic corporate medicine is if I'm in a car accident and I need the emergency room. That's the one time they're the best in the world. And other than that, don't take their prescriptions. Most of them are toxic and destroy your health eventually. And don't ever get a vaccination. My God, don't get a flu shot now. Don't get this insanely evil COVID scam. COVID's the common cold. They've turned the common cold into a nano terrorist, and so they got 20 years out of the false flag 9/11, and ooh, the Muslims are the terrorists. They're behind every corner, and now they've upped their game, and they've made the common cold the nano terrorist. It infuriates me, honestly. What do you fellas think?
Hey, you said it, Giuseppe, and I just ran across a perfect metaphor for this situation. That being a dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Oh, that song by Loudon Wainwright, the senior. Yeah, that was a great song. And right. Oh, that must have smelled good.
But everything you just described is stinking to high heaven.
Amen, Michael. Yeah. Amen.
Hey, Giuseppe, two people on the StreamYard feed are saying I'm muted. I don't know.
Yeah, that was before I shared the audio. I can confirm it, but
right on.
I'm pretty okay, sure cool. You're there now.
So Michael, tell us, what's the vibe like in Texas? Like, I don't know how you are, but like everybody I run into, you know, I'm like a preacher spreading the word, you know. What kind of conversations did you get into in Texas, and you know, where do you think people are at there?
I noticed this even outside of Texas, and I think there's a big difference between city dwellers and country people. I've been hanging in the city for the last 4 or 5 days and hanging out with family, so there's only a couple of them that I know are hip to everything, and everybody else is brainwashed, including the guy that I've been staying with. But then when I get out in the country like today and stopping places, nobody's wearing masks. Well, not many people are wearing masks, and if you don't, nobody cares. I just went into an independent chocolatier shop in Hyco, Texas, and it's got a big sign that says please wear a mask on the front door, but then you walk in there and nobody's wearing one. So I kind of looked at her and raised my eyebrows. She, gave me a hand signal like, oh, don't worry about that. Then when I was checking out, I had a brief conversation with this woman who's running the store, and she's pretty much on board because she was griping about what they're making children do. And she said, it's just terrible what they're doing. And I said, yeah, and it has nothing to do with a virus and everything to do about tyranny in the wake of a virus story. And she said, we're on the same page. And this is a country woman in the middle of Texas. So, a lot of people are hip to what's happening.
Right on. I've noticed awesome. The same thing. People that are from big cities seem to be more brainwashed. Last weekend, it was kind of a holiday here, and a whole bunch of tourists came to see the jungle and the rivers and everything here. And every single one of them was wearing a mask. But, most people here aren't. Maybe, 30-40% wear masks. But everybody I talked to, when I asked them, hey, are you afraid of the virus? They're like, no. But they're afraid of getting a fine if a cop sees them. That's the only thing that's keeping it going.
Right. Right. Hey, thanks for the introduction earlier, Giuseppe. And, what we're doing right now allows me to add another line to my resume. That line is roving correspondent.
There you go. Yeah, right on, man. Right on.
And mobile guru.
It'll go right under mobile exotic dancer.
That's right.
Yeah, Michael, it's stunning, and I was amazed, and I don't know if either one of you fellas caught this yesterday. Tony the Rat Fauci, as the great Jim Fetzer calls him, came out yesterday and publicly stated that there should be a vaccine in April of 2021 for those who want to take it, right? They're still playing their little coy game of like, oh, you don't have to take it if you don't want to, because the polling is showing that not even 20% of the American public is going to take this vaccine. So it's what, to my opinion, you can comment after this last statement, is they're going to come out with a much more virulent bioweapon. This first one the so-called novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, was really attenuated. It was pretty mild. But now, as we saw the video with that satanic, psychotic, propped-up, narcissist, megalomaniacal, subhuman Gates and his weird-looking, manly wife, Mel. Hey, I'm Mel. And how they were chuckling, wait till you see, or I got to do the nerd voice, wait till you see what's coming next. And that's just so evil. So, I don't think there'll ever be an effective vaccine. That's my opinion. But I'll let you guys comment on what I said first.
Go ahead, Michael.
I definitely agree with that. I don't think there's been effective vaccines ever. As far as I can tell, every time you break it down and realize what posed for defeating a disease, it was not a vaccine. And in fact, the vaccine may have served to worsen the situation.
Well, a perfect example of that is the Spanish flu. Our co-host, the mechanic, who actually tonight at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific on Revolution Radio is taking over from Joe Tones and the Hijacker, probably the best roundtable there is, the High Council. And the mechanic did some excellent research into the 1919 Spanish flu and the lies of that so-called pandemic. And what really happened is it was started because the quacks of the day vaccinated the military and spread it all around, and it was very, very deadly. But what was more deadly was wearing the masks, which caused a shocking number of deaths by bacterial pneumonia. And it is a fact that more people in 1919 from the so-called Spanish flu pandemic died of bacterial pneumonia than from the Spanish flu.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, wow. And, I was listening to some mainstream media garbage the other day, and they're claiming that it's a vaccine. They're saying it's 90% effective now, which I'm calling bullshit on, obviously. And really, the more I think about this vaccine thing, man, I think they're really going to use this to be a slow kill mechanism to control the population. And I think it's going to get more and more virulent as time goes on, once they get people used to taking the jab, by force. And Giuseppe, your idea that they're going to release a new bioweapon, I hope that's not true. Don't you think people are going to get suspicious that there is like this 1-2 punch, like, two different bad vaccines come out like 1 year apart? I mean, don't you think that's going to cause suspicion?
Well, I think that they have such a level of gaslighting in effect that, as H.L. Mencken describes, the average American, Bubus Americanus, totally believes in corporate allopathic medicine, totally trusts the cult of the white coat religion of Big Pharma, and only people like you and I, or normies who were shocked awake because they're infant child was murdered by vaccines, and they call it SIDS when it's vaccine murder, that their healthy 7-year-old child got a round of deadly toxic vaccines and turned into a autistic walking zombie banging his or her head on the wall all the time. Those people were woken up to the utter malicious satanic joke, the arrogance, the hubris of the vaccine quackery. It's all quackery, as Michael knows even better than me, because I've ordered the Thomas Cowan book, but I have perused the British couple's book. What mainstream corporate vaccine quackery believes it viruses are is not what they are. And Michael, would you care to elaborate on that?
That Tom Cowan book, that's been another great thing about being on the road this time, because I've set up a system where I can have books read to me. That Tom Cowan book and Sally Morrell, Sally Morrell is a heavyweight as well. She founded the organization called the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Oh, that's a great organization. I've followed them for decades.
Yeah, yeah. She's the main person who started that. I didn't know. I didn't follow her. I didn't know that when I first started listening to interviews between her and Tom Cowan. But that is a heavy book. I've been characterizing it as being visionary to people that I'm recommending it to. And, you know, going back to what Fauci said about vaccines a minute ago, I heard that, and it struck me the same way as you just characterized it, Giuseppe, that being that it was probably carefully worded to let people still believe that it was not a big deal, there would be no forced vaccines, so he included the words, people who want to take it.
Right.
And what that reminded me of, I think these guys, what they say is largely scripted. And what that reminded me of is we've all seen that clip from Joe Biden from about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, in which he says, we've put together the single greatest election fraud system in world history.
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah. You remember? You've seen that clip.
Oh, yeah.
It's you know, and everybody's just saying that, well, you know, that's Joe. He says exactly the opposite of what he means. But it struck me that one of the principles that these satanic controllers work under is they feel like they have some principle whereby they have to tell us what they're doing to us before they do it. And that statement might have been specifically scripted for Biden to say, and they would know that he's regarded as an old man who makes misstatements, so it was okay for him to say it, and then it would be blown off.
Yeah, and of course, the other way to look at it is, you know, the truth always wants to come out, you know, and even when you're a liar. So, yeah, either both theories, I think, are plausible. I wanted to read you guys a comment from the chat and get your thoughts on it, okay? EAH is saying, even if Trump eventually remains in office, he will not stand in the way of the vaccines. And, you know, I find it ominous. Trump's always talking about using the military to distribute the vaccine. I don't see why you do that, because it implies use of force. That's the whole point of the military, is they have guns and machine guns. Michael, why don't you take this first? What do you think will happen with this mandatory vaccine thing if Trump manages to stay in office somehow?
Well, if there's one certain thing that is disturbing about Trump, that's it. His complete backing of Operation Warp Speed. Did you guys happen to catch the conversation that Fetzer and Jack Mullen had yesterday?
No, I did not.
Jack takes the position that Trump is just as much an actor and a player in this whole situation and is being used to divide the American public into what might develop into an actual civil war. And Fetzer, as you know, has taken the position that he's not an actor, and that he's really trying to do what's best for the American people. So it was a really good conversation. They both laid out their sides. But what you just mentioned about Trump's backing of this COVID-19 vaccine, that's extraordinarily disturbing when you throw in the military, and he's done that from the first.
Yeah, yeah. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll have to go and listen to the great professor. And Jack Mullen is a sharp, sharp man. He's hardcore conservative. I respect a lot of what he has to say. I would have to say that I lean more towards a hybrid of those two positions. I think that Trump
is believes his grifting press from the decades of Trump this and Trump that and Trump empire. And I think that he actually believes that he's done this himself. But if you watch the interesting documentary on Netflix about Trump, the early years, and there's a quote from a New York Federal Reserve banker who said on some, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or whatever, but they replayed it and claimed that, we could have destroyed Donald Trump years ago, but we realized he could be of great use to us. And so, that's the Zionist slice of the kosher sandwich right there. And so I think that Donald Trump is a very much the Zionist marionette. And but on the other hand, I also think that in his heart of hearts, he's a patriotic American, and he really does want to do right for the American people. And that's why the populists and the nationalists, the great silent majority in this sovereign republic of the United States of America, believed him and resonated with him. Because a similar situation, if Mitt Romney, who I like to call shit rob me, is tried to do the same scam in 2016, and I'm an American first, and I love America, and I'm gonna take care of you people, the populists, the nationalists would have laughed at him. The patriots would have said, F you, Mitt, F you, you magic underpants wearing parasite. So I think Trump actually believes his own narrative, but I think he's also very, very compromised.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Giuseppe. I think there's validity in both viewpoints here, but there's certainly one thing I think is true. There's something about Donald Trump that the so-called elite, the parasitical elite, don't like, because they've attacked him nonstop since before he even got into office. I think he's the kind of guy, he says stuff he's not supposed to. He goes off script, and I don't think he's used to taking orders all the time. I do think he's compromised. Yeah, there's probably a lot of skeletons in his closet, but there's something about him that they want him out.
And early on, he did do some things that were definitely against the globalist agenda, like getting us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. He just dumped that. That was a beautiful thing. And he also dumped the Paris Climate Accords. That's a beautiful thing.
Right, I agree totally. So, and, they're already, Groper Joe is already saying he's going to use a whole plethora of executive orders to pretty much reverse everything that Trump has done and get us back in the climate accord immediately, because this green agenda thing dovetails precisely into this COVID agenda as well.
The great Australian truth teller Max Egan, I was just listening to him say that the greatest single power on earth, and this is not in a spiritual realm, this is in the material realm, is the mass media. And as long as the enemy, so to speak, no, not so to speak, they are the enemy.
Right.
As long as they control the mass media, they wield tremendous power over what everybody perceives.
Oh man, that is absolutely true. And you got to factor into the mass media, the Hollywood entrainment system, because people think that they don't realize how much mind control is in all these TV shows and movies being made in Hollywood as well. And so that is so well said. Somehow that spell has to be broken for anything to really change.
The guy that I was just staying with in Fort Worth is a person who lived his life in front of MSNBC.
Uh-oh.
And so my being there that long allowed me to drop in on what the progression of the brainwashing is after the election. And I We call it monitoring enemy transmissions.
Right.
That's what I, yeah, I call it the same thing, watching enemy war footage. Could you expand upon that? Like, what were they saying? I've been out of touch for the last several days. How would you characterize it?
Well, relative to the election, most of the coverage was election coverage. And before the call was made on Saturday by the mainstream media that Biden won, before that, like Thursday and Friday, it was constantly saying how crazy Trump is for even challenging this election. And they kept using specific wording to say that there was no evidence whatsoever of fraudulent elections. When actually the evidence is like as long as your arm. So they were doing that for 2 days. And then they all jumped on board when, I don't know which network it was, maybe it was ABC first called it for Biden. And after that, it was more of the same, but you know the themes. It's calling Trump totally crazy dictator, that he would challenge it and that he would not roll over. That's the main theme.
Right. And the word I'm always hearing is baseless claims. They're completely baseless.
Baseless.
That's the script. And, you know, Michael, what I've learned is the very first organization to call the election was the AP, the Associated Press. As soon as the AP called it, everyone jumped on board. So I just found that to be an interesting little side note.
That's right. And isn't AP Rothschild owned?
Yes.
Both AP and Reuters are now owned by Rothschild.
Yes, yes.
Yep. There you go.
Well, that makes perfect sense. That's top control, the main distributors of mainstream news.
Our masters have spoken.
That's right. No, they just tell you what to believe. Speaking of what to believe, I like these. It's a practice that YouTube has gone to over the last 3 or 4 years. That when there's a YouTube video that expresses something that is against the mainstream narrative, what they want you to believe, they add this little box at the bottom of the video screen that tells you exactly what you should believe.
That's just unbelievable. So whatever, it really is.
Whatever that little box says, you can pretty much count on the fact that whatever this guy's saying in this video is going to be true, and the opposite of what that little box down there says is going to be true.
Yeah, you know, that's so right on. Returning back to your earlier question of, do you think they're going to release a more virulent bioweapon to amp up the fear and drive their global mandatory vaccine satanic agenda? I would submit the idea that Biden has been talking for months now about the dark winter, and that's a code name for a bioweapon attack scenario in the Pentagon war games. So it's coming.
I thought that was also a code name for the power grid going out.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I haven't researched it, but I do. They probably would go hand in hand if they're going to do it, right?
Right. Yeah, and you know what's incredible is Joe Biden has actually said that Trump didn't do enough to stop the virus, and he's already put together a team to combat the coronavirus. That's going to be his top priority, which is of course code for mandatory mask wearing indoors and out, and a national shutdown.
Wow.
I'm seeing a lot of Trump signs out here in rural Texas that people who haven't taken down their signs yet. A lot of Trump flags, too. There was one place I was rolling through a town called Hamilton, and somebody had put up two huge signs in their front yard, which was on the highway. They were like 4 by 8 feet each. One of them was Trump, and the other one was Jesus.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So Michael, where do you think this is going? How is the script going to be play out here? Because this is all scripted, I believe. Is Trump going to be able to make it through and win through the court battles, or are we going to have Groper Joe?
Man, that's a tough question right now, because hearkening back to what Jack Mullen was saying, he was saying that the scenario in which Trump prevails in the legal system and they reverse what they've said earlier will just set off the Trump derangement syndrome like you've never seen before. And he'll be openly attacked as the new Hitler. So in his scenario, it's further divide and conquer, and that would be a serious wedge between the two main factions. But truth is, Scorpio, I don't know. I don't. They haven't invited me in on those planning meetings at the globalist enclaves. They told me I'd have to kill and eat a few babies first, and I said, no, I'm not into that.
Jeez. Giuseppe, where do you think this is going? What's your prediction for the outcome of this dog and pony show?
I think that they're going to drag it out and drag it out, and that I actually agree with Jack Mullen that this is all part of a globalist New World Order op, the Great Reset, the COVID-19 scamdemic, the Green New Deal, Agenda 21. So I think that the globalists are applying a color revolution destabilization in the United States. What the CIA used to do to other countries over the last 50, 60 years is now being done in the United States. So that leads me to believe that they're going to allow all these weak-minded Trump derangement syndrome monkeys to celebrate and whoop it up. And then now slowly they're going to give it to Trump, and with the intent of trying to start a civil war.
Okay, so you're thinking that Trump is going to succeed in his legal fight.
I think that, yeah, now that they're really scrutinizing all the vote counting, I think that he's got a great chance of getting to 270 or 271 himself.
Well, here's the thing. That's certainly a possibility. And Tony Baloney is saying they're going to pump up the 5G. And Tony had us all just laughing like crazy on Saturday, man.
Oh, so he's got a great sense awesome. Of humor, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. When I look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, it seems to me like it's better to have Groper Joe in there, because that way they can just take the brakes off completely, put the pedal to the metal, and go full force ahead with, you know, the green agenda, the Paris Climate Accord, which will destroy any remaining industry in the United States, because it essentially allows China to keep polluting at their current levels until 2030. But restrictions on the United States begin immediately. And you combine that with Groper Joe's promise to do a national mask mandate and an additional shutdown to destroy the economy. I, if you weigh the two benefits, like, yeah, you're going to have, you know, you get to burn the country down if Trump's in office. But I think the benefits are greater for the conspirators having Groper Joe in. But again, I hope I'm wrong.
Those are excellent points.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
I would agree with that as well. Just what Scorpio just said, I would agree with that as well. That in terms of the Civil War scenario, you can make a case for one of the biggest thorns in the sides of the people who want to take down the United States is how heavily armed the citizens of the United States are. And one logical way of thinking like them for them to deal with it is to foster our fighting each other, using those arms against each other rather than coming together to defend ourselves. But I think the left is way beyond that. They're not gonna join with any arms-loving conservatives to fight for liberty.
Right. Speaking of arms and fighting, today is 11/11 Veterans Day, and even though the military is often used maliciously by the globalist parasites to serve Israel, not the United States, all the military veterans in this country do go into it with the highest of intentions and ideals, and I honor them all for their service.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a shame that most of them join as kids without a clue as to the deeper levels of what's going on in the world. But for the great majority of them, the primary motivation is that of self-sacrifice, and that's got to be applauded.
Absolutely, and it's not an easy life. It's a hard push going through all that training. And one danger that they all represent for the globalists is you've got a lot of people that are woken up that have lots of military training and know how to fight. So that's a good thing for us, I believe. And, you know, earlier you touched upon the Second Amendment, I believe, Giuseppe. And, you know, I heard a couple of clips the other day of these, you know, these vote managers in the states, whatever, the election managers. And this one guy almost was crying. I mean, it's such a baby. And they were saying, oh, well, we've gotten a lot of calls threatening us, and some people saying that this is what the Second Amendment is for. I'm afraid for my life. So, so it's kind of like this little slap at the Second Amendment, like, uh-oh, you know, the Second Amendment's dangerous. We might have to get rid of that, too. That was the message, you know.
Well, the synagogue of Satan, their wet dream is to try and use force to remove weapons from the United States. That is, they've been trying that for, you know, I don't know, 70 years probably, but they're not going to work. It's just not going to work. That, you know, the two amendments, they've really been able to do some serious damage with their little tech nerd monkeys as far as censorship, but they are not ever going to be taken away Americans' guns. It's just not going to happen.
What are your thoughts, Michael?
Yeah. Well, that gets back to your scenario of Joe Biden being the best choice for them, because if they concede that it's basically impossible to confiscate as much weaponry as exists in the American populace like they have done in other countries, then the next best thing is, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said way back in the 80s, early 80s, I believe, these days it used to be very difficult to kill a lot of people as opposed to controlling them, but now it's easier to kill a lot of people rather than controlling them. Did I say that correctly?
And the vaccine is going to be the perfect method to do that, because those deaths will be blamed on COVID. I believe that over time, once they get the population acclimated to being vaccinated every year, they're going to target specific parts of the population and do a slow kill that takes 10 or 20 years for people to start dying. That way they have plausible deniability.
You guys know a lot has been made about that Deagle.com website that forecasts a drastic reduction in American and English populations by 2025. Right.
Professor Jim Fetzer always talks about it. I've studied that in some great length. Go ahead.
Yeah, just recently, that website, underneath those projections, has put up a disclaimer. It's about, I don't know, maybe 750, 800 words long. And I wasn't aware of it. It's kind of it's a little bit of walking it back, but not really. But it says a couple of interesting things in there. And how I found out about it was, you mentioned the synagogue of Satan earlier, and that reminded me of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Right,
the author,
what a great
of the book,
book
by the same name.
Right.
And he had, every week he has a conversation with the main organizer of the Eurofolk radio station. His name is Paul English. And he's an extraordinarily great interview. And hey, he might be a guy you might ask on. But he and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock had a conversation that was primarily about that, about this disclaimer at the Deagle website. I think, what is this? This is, I think it was either just yesterday or the day before.
So now I missed what you're saying. What is the disclaimer stating again? I didn't pick that up.
What I said earlier was that the disclaimer seemed to be walking it back and throwing a lot of uncertainty into what might happen. That's how I would generally characterize it. And I wish I had it right here in front of me. If I was sitting at my desk at my computer, I would, because there's a couple of interesting one-liner sentences in it that would lead one to believe that the people who are doing this Deagle.com website are more independent than just being vassals of the New World Order.
Yeah, because that's a pretty stunning prediction. I just don't see how they could, you know, kill two out of three Americans in the next 4 years. It seems unlikely, but who knows with what they have planned, you know. I think there's only two scenarios by which that could happen, is some kind of a nuclear, you know, attack, or some kind of bioweapon just wipes out almost everybody.
Okay, I'm at Deagle.com. So where is this disclaimer, Michael?
Probably the easiest way to get there is to go to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.com. I think .com.
All right.
And then click on the one. It's got a little Deagle symbol. It's got the shows down the page there. And there's a Deagle symbol, and Paul English is in the title of the show. So is Deagle. And if you click on that, it'll take you to the show page, and there's a link to the disclaimer down below the description.
Okay, let's see. Looks like he changed his website. He used to have it laid out more. No, I'm not. So there's Peter Hammond. Oh, here we go, Deagle.com. Okay. All right, so here we go.
Right, so down below the show description, it has a link to it.
Yep, I'm there. So disclaimer
and the first
below.
Thing you'll see is a big chart. So scroll down, and there's the disclaimer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. It reads, in 2014, we published a disclaimer about the forecast. In 6 years, the scenario has changed dramatically. This new disclaimer is meant to single out the situation from 2020 onwards. Talking about the United States and the European Union as separate entities no longer makes sense. Both are the Western Bloc, man. Talk about the Great Reset bullshit. Keep printing money and
really?
We'll share the same fate. After COVID, we can draw two major conclusions. The Western world success model has been built over societies with no resilience that can barely withstand any hardship, even a low-intensity one. It was assumed, but we got the full confirmation beyond any doubt. That's just it, man. I've been saying since it happened that whole run on food, that was just a test run. That was just a test to see how easy it would be to destroy the American civilization. And then number two, the COVID crisis will be used to extend the life of this dying economic system through the so-called Great Reset. Next paragraph. The Great Reset, like the climate change, extinction rebellion, planetary crisis, green revolution, shale oil, dot, 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 hoaxes promoted by the system, is, again, they're saying all hoaxes, the Great Reset, climate change hoax, Extinction Rebellion hoax, planetary crisis hoax, Green Revolution hoax, shale oil hoax, they're all hoaxes. That's exactly right. I have a lot more respect for Deagle.com.
That's what I was talking about. That statement sets them apart from the New World Order agenda.
Right. So they say all those hoaxes promoted by the system. The Great Reset is another attempt to slow down dramatically the consumption of natural resources and therefore extend the lifetime of the current system. The joke of all of this is if the satanic chicken-swinging parasites didn't have such a stranglehold on all this, we would have migrated decades ago to hemp and you know, create an economy where 70% of it is driven by hemp and maybe 30% by petroleum. And it would be so much better. But, you know, the Satanists don't want the earth to thrive. Satanists want the earth to burn.
That's a good point.
Let me count the ways. We could sit down and make a long list of how if we had moral, ethical people in charge, that this world would be a whole lot better than it is now.
Oh, man, it gets
that's
better.
So true.
Check out
the rest of this. Michael. You know, next time we have you come on, we should kind of dive into that topic because that would be a really interesting thing to get into in depth. We're down to the last minute, Michael. What are your final thoughts for today?
Well, my final thoughts are that this has been fun talking to you guys while I'm cruising deep in the heart of Texas. So I'll be listening to your second hour. Dennis Fecho is still coming on?
Yep, the great Dennis Fecho is coming on for hour two. Rarely does interviews anymore. We're honored.
Okay, I love you guys and the mass media being the greatest tool in the evil empire's tool chest. You guys are striking at the root, so keep it up.
Well, we're all part of the same team, and we love you too. Drive safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you this Friday on Need to Know the Fetzer Report with Jim and Scorpio, as you've agreed to become the regular Friday commentator, which is always like watching the shows when Michael's on.
Awesome. Okay, thanks again, Michael. We're at the top of the hour.
We'll
see you
guys
Friday. Thanks again for coming on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Everyone stay tuned for hour two.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war.
Well, that was really
a
good interview, Scorpio.
Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning!
Yes, absolutely.
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
Guy. You know, he's
see how the
cover
you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears, upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who want it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Hey, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me.
Revolution Radio.
That and so it's an honor to be part of this circle, really, the wisdom circle.
Oh, great.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
That's awesome. So now,
who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is.
Yeah.
Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries,
that's cool, man.
Little
I
known
really
incredible facts, alternative
and,
energies, and even more than
we'll
you can imagine.
Here he is. There's coming in right now.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays?
Yeah,
for Voices on the Wind,
heard,
with me, Ivy West.
Right. Hello, Dennis, how are you?
There are lies in the balance, people on the fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the Wisdom Circle. I'm here with my co-host, Giuseppe, from the District of Criminals. And we're going to welcome on our special guest, Mr. Dennis Fecho. Dennis, how are you, sir? Well, so you're in Riyadh right now?
Yeah, I'm in Riyadh. Been here since January of last year. Got trapped, really, after the COVID thing started to break in March. And I've had to go through a couple maneuvers with visas and everything like that. But the government here has been very good to everybody here, especially the guests. So no complaints. You know, normally, obviously, I'd be back in the Philippines with the family and relaxing and enjoying the cats. Those who know me, they know they know about the cat report. But, you know, I'm stuck and I'm not complaining because I'm treated well here and I'm respected somewhat. So no complaints whatsoever. And great to be with you guys from Riyadh.
So you're stuck there. So you can't fly right now. And is that what it is?
Yeah, we're live, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's the masking situation like there? And like, what's the general feel of on the streets in Riyadh about this the virus and everything?
Well, you know, today, I mean, it's been very low key, but today we actually had a government inspector come into one of the buildings where I was at. So they were handing out masks everywhere, you know, getting everybody to put on their masks. But the general thing here is it's very relaxed. There's not a whole lot of stress about it. People don't complain too much, but you do wear them typically over, you know, like this, you know, so you can breathe through your... You know, nobody really, I mean, you've got people wearing it, but I take every opportunity to show people, look, this is very dangerous for you. you know, and I break out some of the pictures of what bacteria looks like after you've exposed a mask for 20 minutes. I said, guys, this is becoming insane. I mean, these health officials either A, are stupid, or B, they want to kill us, because it's got to be one or the other. You got to know what's going on, or you're just too stupid, and you should be making decisions that are affecting people's health. So people are getting it. You got to be careful, obviously, anywhere in the world nowadays, what you say. But at the end of the day, you know, I believe in leaders who fight corruption. I think we need to speak up against corruption. And one of the areas of corruption that all the good nationalist leaders need to fight against is the medical corruption. We are watching a medical syndicate really running roughshod over really the freedoms of everybody on planet Earth. And it's not fair to the little guy. It's not fair to the general people. Those of us who do have a little bit of more, let's just say, arcane knowledge and information, what's going on, the information comes to us freely. We should give back freely. I think that's an old Christian idea I got from catechism, but I really hold that it's a good value to have. So give back where you can. It comes free to you. Give it back because it didn't really cost you anything. You were gifted with these things. And that's kind of how I take it. I try to encourage everybody I talk to take an active role in just saying no to what is now becoming a medical fraud being perpetrated on everybody.
Brilliantly well stated, Dennis. And my question for you is, much like Scorpio, you grew up in Southern California as a young man, and when you were a boy turning into a teen, I mean, that was probably one of the best places to live in the United States. And to see what has happened to California, now many people call it Commifornia, and the country in general, did you ever think when you were growing up in a I would describe as an idyllic environment that the world, the United States, would turn out to be this?
Well, I knew the United States was headed for something challenging or drastic. I knew that by 2002, 2003. And that's when I started to make my move to leave the country. You have to understand, I went through the dot-com bust. I was a leading telecom guy in Los Angeles. So I went through the dot-com bust. I saw how they suckered everybody to bring money into telecom. Every day we were hearing street stories. This company lost, you know, $40 million and the stock went up by 50%. This company lost $70 million and the stock went up by this much percent. You could see that they were just generating a lot of money. So then you had, of course, the 2003, 2004, we saw them starting to push loans on the African American community in Los Angeles. There was a huge push to get them into loans. You can just see they were setting the country up for some type of banking fiasco where they were going to collateralize these loans. They were all going to go broke. And then we were going to have a second bust that trigger pull. That was 2007, 2008. So I knew this was happening in real time because I was involved in both of those. I was actually training the biggest African-American marketing room to target the black community in 2001, 2002. So I can see this happening in real time. Hear the words, hear what was going on. And so by 2003, I was looking to jet because nobody was listening to me in 2003. Now we're 2020 and people are saying, hey, why didn't anybody say something years ago? You know, everybody's stuck, you know. Now it's like, but you know what? As you guys know better than most. But my message has always been a bit on the harder core of things. And I try not to, where'd I go? All right, Greenheart, that's good. I try to be on the honest side without getting too, in other words, it's got to be cutting edge. It's got to be, you know, fair to the audience and give them what they want, but also give people an opportunity to understand what's going on. I'm not saying anything different than, let's say, what Henry Ford said in the 1920s. What other great leaders have said around the world for thousands of years. So, you know, I didn't expect it to get this bad, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah, it is crazy. I mean, here we have a situation where governors are telling people how many people you're allowed to have over at your house for Thanksgiving. I mean, I never thought we'd reach that kind of insanity.
No. I agree with you. I agree, Scorpio. I can't imagine for the life of me that a governor would even think about doing something so childish and stupid. You know, we are being led by children. At the end of the day, we are being led by petulant little children who just want to have their way because they're in the candy store and they got all power and they want to abuse everybody for having it. And really, it's coming to a head, and I think it's coming to a head rather quickly. I'm not sure how much longer this is going to go on, especially with the election cycle now that we've just witnessed, where we've seen, in my opinion anyways, massive fraud against the American people. A literal staged coup d'etat to take over the country. You know, here in Saudi Arabia, the only thing people want me to talk about is the election. Every day, the election. I had a lecture today, a four-hour lecture, and 1 hour was spent talking about the election. What do I do?
Wow. So what's your interpretation of the current scenario where Trump is beginning to gain some states and the votes under intense pressure are seemingly being more accurately counted? How do you think this is going to play out, Dennis?
Well, if it plays out the way it should, and that's a perfect world where law, justice, and order prevail, which I believe we still can attain to. We should see what happened. We should see what Democrats are calling to happen to us. We should see happen to the Democrats. I'm talking about a ruthless, vicious purge. I'm talking about a total destruction of the Democratic political apparatus. I am talking about mass arrests across the voter blocks. I'm looking personally, if I'm going to be advising, I'm going to say, look, all of the low-level election people that were involved in this fraud, that were just signing ballots away or whatever, go ahead and give them 5 years. Somebody at the local level that was a leader, we're going to take them out for 10 to 12 years. And you go up to the senior levels of this operation and you just hang them. We cannot allow a minority group to come into the United States and literally try to take over the country away from the United States and her people. You're talking 71 million. Now, here's the thing, guys. Last I heard, there was like 135 million voters registered. You know, we have 213 or so million voters, right? Not necessarily all of those eligible voters. You're going to get 50% here, 70% there. I heard a number not so long ago, 135 million. Now I can't find that number. Now, when you start to do the math, nobody argues about 75 million. Everybody agrees. Democrats agree. The media agrees. Everybody seems to think we're going to take that number. If I take 135 million as states, because we don't even know, there's so much fraud, we don't know the numbers here. If I took 135, 140 million people, and Trump took 70 million, and we get generally 65% voter turnout, we're going to have roughly about 90, really, realistically, 100, and I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Realistically. And they're going to tell us Biden took 75? I can't get more audience than you and I get for a streaming radio show? Are they out of their mind? High level of gaslighting. It's insane. Look, I get 20, 25 people in my chat room. That's more than Biden got on some of his rallies. They're going to tell me 75 million people showed up for this moron?
Yeah, especially in these states, these industrial states where, you know, Biden has been promising to get us back in the Paris Climate Accord, which will decimate any industry that's left in the United States.
100%. I can't imagine. I honestly think, guys, after this, watching what happened, you know what I really think happened here? Biden got maybe 10 to 12 million votes. Maybe. I think the theft and the fraud going on so long, and we've gotten so used to it, that I honestly think when we backtracked all, I doubt that Biden got more than 10 to 16 million votes.
Wow.
You can win California. And you talk to people on the street, and people call me from California and say, yes, we know anybody who voted for this guy. Yes, we know the colleges, around the colleges, there's pockets of people. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the state, nobody knows but that's actually already provided. Nobody. It's kind of like COVID. How many people you know ever got COVID?
Exactly.
Tens of millions of people. How many do you know?
That's a big principle. They pulled off a fake pandemic, they pulled off a fake election.
100%. Thank you for that, guys. But they actually 100%. It's fake. That's why they just figured, screw it. We can't really beat the American people, so we're just going to try to steal it, and let's do what we can. And they'll just fake everything. They're faking everything now. And they have total control of information. We are just learning. I'm like talking to some of my colleagues in America. I'm saying, guys, what's up with this? All of these states, and we don't have any Republicans in control of any voting booths and any counting stations in the entire world. I mean, in the entire country. It's all Democratic control. What's this? The country is a red country with a very few pockets of large city blue people. That's it. These are just admittedly large pockets of blue areas, but they're nothing compared to the states itself. And we're supposed to think that all of these states with all these red counties are turning massively to Biden. Please, I want a full investigation. And I want a full accounting of where the hell Biden's people are. I saw a great meme, guys. I'm not a great memer, but I like memes, okay? It's like we're watching a poker match, all right? You put your money on the table. I put my money on the table. Democrats come and they put their money on the table. They look at their hand. They say, hey, guys, I just won. They take all the money and they walk away. And they don't want to show their hand. This time, the entire hand.
That's exactly right. You know, Dennis, what you're saying is just so lucidly on point. And what has blown my mind for decades now is you literally have a small, small percentage of the American population is a weaponized minority, right? You've got the elite Satanists, the chicken swingers who have just like a cancer have managed to amass power in the mass media, in Hollywood, in banking, in big pharma, and especially tragically in government. And then you've got, you know, based on the mass media, you'd think that 90% of the population in America was homosexual, but it's maybe 3%, right? Yet everywhere, homosexual. And then you've got the violent blacks and browns who are a small percentage of the great majority of decent, hardworking blacks and you know, Mexicans and whomever comes to this country for the opportunity to make something themselves. You've got a small percentage of that. So you've got these weaponized minorities that sadly are steering the boat, and it's insane to me. And why is it that the average person, instead of seeing who the real enemy is, instead will, oh, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're an anti-Semite? How can the average normie be so entranced?
Well, I obviously that's the YouTube. You know, I don't know which in the 1958s or something like that, said something like that is, if you have a television in your bedroom or your home, you have a Jew in your living room. that was the 1950s. You could actually say that in the 1950s. You can't do that as easily today because that was back in the 50s. But what was my point on all that? Yeah, the weaponized minorities. That's why I say I don't believe Biden got more than 10 to 16 million votes, to be honest.
You know, and Dennis,
people that you talk about are actually going to go out and vote.
Yeah, I was just going to add that, you know, like, for example, I saw a statistic from Wisconsin that something like 95% of eligible voters voted, which I don't believe for a minute.
No, it's 60, 65. That's statistically the norm. I agree with you. That was my point when we started. When we look at how many registered voters are there, then we take the voter turnout. The reality is we probably only had around, realistically, 135 to 150 million voters. Realistic, because remember, we're a country of 330 million. The eligible voters is 238 million or so. So when you look at the numbers, they're telling you that the state has so many population and 92% are eligible to vote. No, they're not, because you got all the children, guys, and you're not counting these. You know, there's 238 million eligible voters. If it's 60% of that, you start to do the math, right? 60% of 238 is what? 230, it's a lot, okay? It comes down pretty quick. I don't know where it's at exactly, but I don't have my calculator. But you get what I mean here. It doesn't make sense that we have that many voters in this election.
Mm-hmm.
There's hell no damn well that Biden, he couldn't get freaking 100 people to elect he didn't do it, guys. It's just gaslighting on a massive scale. I want to know where the hell these 70 million numbers came from. Or they just make it up. They just started at 50 million. Yeah, well, Biden, we're gonna spot 50 million votes here to make it even.
Yeah, we'll front you 50 million. They're claiming that Biden is going to end up with close to 80 million votes when it's all said and done, which
show
pure fantasy.
Where come from? Show me the cards. Where'd they come from?
Yeah.
Well, it's sad, Dennis, that Jimmy Carter, who was a pretty ineffective president but is a profoundly decent man, has gone all over the world certifying election integrity. And when he was asked, I've seen him do the interview, he said, was asked, what's the most corrupt election system in the world? And he said, well, the United States.
Yeah. You know, in my lecture today about the election, I teach in the universities, and the students, they didn't want to do anything. They just wanted me to talk about the election for the first hour. And I'm like, I hope I don't get in trouble. You know, you try to avoid politics. But these are advanced students. Many of them spent many, many, many years in America. They love the states. They love the American people because we're good, kind people, and they appreciate that equally. And I will add, the people here are good and kind. You get in the right circles, they're good and kind equally. Good and kind people all over the world, guys. That's the truth of what's happening here, but we should keep our country. So you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, you know, if what you're saying is true, the United States is absolutely corrupt to the core, completely. I said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They know everything, okay? They're saying, you're telling me the FBI, they know all the agencies, okay? You're telling me the FBI's corrupt, DHS, they're going through the African alphabet with me, you know? DHS is corrupt, DOJ's corrupt. They're actually using the alphabet, all right? They've been there long enough. They're going through the whole thing, and they're saying, that means your country is absolutely corrupt to the core. I said, yes, that's what's happening. And I said, you know what? What we kind of need is Mohammed bin Salman, and a Ritz-Carlton situation, we just take everybody out. Just take them out.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it is astonishing how deeply corrupt America has become. You see, basically, the FBI is nothing more than a tool to cover things up and to punish their political enemies. There's nothing else to it.
Correct. I agree 100% with that. Mr. Fix-It. You know, they fixed 9/11. They fixed... Waco, they're basically a fix-it organization for the elite, and they've always been that. They've never served the American people. If they were to disappear tomorrow, we would probably be a better country for it, with all due respect.
Amen. So what's your prediction at this point, Dennis? Who's going to be the 46th president
of the United States? I really do think Trump will take it. I think it's going to go down to that. I've always said that when push came to shove, patriots were not going to allow the country to just be run over. And this is a case where literally you have a clique of people that literally just believe it's their country. They can just steal it, do whatever the hell they want, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. Okay? And I never believed that was ever going to be allowed to happen. Ever. I was thinking it's going to happen when, in other words, the pushback would come when it's clear to the entire world, to the people of the United States, that this is what's going on. Because at the end of the day, we may have to resort to massive violence. And for the American people to resort to massive violence, There's going to need to be clear visual justification for this to happen. And I'm not saying that it's going to be the people rioting against the other people. I'm talking about perhaps violence within our institutions. Now, I'm not saying that the U.S. military has the ability to do this, but we did see Esper get fired. We did see some people key within the DOJ get fired. We have seen some, you know, these types of things moving on the ground. The reality is that we need a massive arrest, and it doesn't have to be public. I don't care.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't care.
The one thing that disturbs me or concerns me about this recount is, you know, just recounting the votes isn't going to cut it. We have to go through and you know, forensically look at whole tranches of votes and determine, you know, is this person actually alive? Is this person an American citizen? Does this person live where they say they do? That's what's going to have to be done to uncover this this massive fraud.
Correct. And apparently, we don't know. You know the conspiracy world, and you, me, we all live in this world a little bit, so we're not averse to it. But one of the theories is that Trump was monitoring the election in real time with the members of the Department of Defense, and that they're very aware of what is happening out there. Whether that's true or not, it's a conspiracy, but at least people are voicing this idea. We would like to think that the U.S. military was doing something to protect the integrity of the United States. We can't bank on it, but we would like to think that somebody in the military was doing something. It is, after all, sworn against enemies both internal and outside the country, okay? And we got a massive internal enemy right now, so you would think so. But again, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But if this is the case, I'm sure they have already a good handle where at least some of this stuff is going. You have to understand, our signals intelligence, guys, is the best in the world. Nobody can touch us. We know exactly what's going on for the most part. We just need the right ears listening. We need the ones listening for good, not listening to cover up. And as long as we get the good people in position, able to be their families protected, because as you know, this other side will do whatever they need to succeed. And that includes murdering people. It includes framing people, setting people up. We've seen this now for 4 years with Trump. So it's a case now where we just really do have to wait and see. But I really think that Trump will win it long term. But it doesn't serve any good, as Scorpio says, if we don't rout out every single facet of the Democratic Party. And I'm sure you guys are well aware of all the list making we've been hearing from the side, the left. From the Ocasio-Cortezes, the ADL, people close to the ADL, many Jewish intellectuals, you know, literally calling for mass arrests, lists. You got Jack Taper on CNN going nationally on CNN saying, we need to keep all these Trump supporters from ever having a job. You know, it's this level of viciousness is actually what it's going to take to destroy these guys. Guys, they've been stealing. You know, when you think about it, they stole 1960. Now, in 1960, you had Nixon, correct? And you had Kennedy. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
Nixon actually, it's many believe, actually won that election.
Mm-hmm.
And he conceded to the Democrats. Now, in the case of JFK, he was actually a positive, or at least tried to be, for the United States. He was a good president. So, okay, fine. Lyndon Johnson, no doubt about the fact that he stole the election. No doubt about that one. Other elections, I don't know. Perhaps Bush in 2000, perhaps. Who knows what's been going on. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the Democrats have been stealing overtly for decades. And they, as Biden said, we built the most comprehensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of the Democratic Party. And I believe he's true on that. I honestly
What's
believe that's
me,
true.
Dennis, is that Biden has named his transition website buildbackbetter.com, which is the globalist parasite New World Order catchphrase to go along with the Great Reset and the new normal entrainment phrases, right? Mass hypnosis phrases. And there is no Democratic Party now. What it is globalist parasite light.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and what's disgusting is what I'm seeing, they're positioning Mittens, Magic Underwear, Romney to be the new presumptive head of the Republican Party, who is just a vulture capitalist who made his money dismantling corporations, firing all the employees, and selling off the assets. A total scumbag.
Yeah, he was part of that movement in the 1970s. You know, you guys are old enough to remember the Smith-Barney commercials of the 1970s.
Yeah.
We earn money the old-fashioned way. We earn it.
Yeah.
In other words, we try to invest and the businesses grow and we share in the profit. That's the old-fashioned way. The newfangled Jewish way is to just short everything. Find ways to scheme, destroy, strip the assets, and to keep the profit for themselves. It's not earning it. It's stealing it off the backs of the people that built the wealth that was existent already. That's the Jewish way. That is, and that was a... You know, literally in the 1970s, this is when this started to happen. When you had the WASP slowly giving up some of their power, kind of like retiring, and Jews taking over. And that's really when, although it was still there, obviously, in the 1940s with the foreign policy, and it was clearly there through the 50s with McCarthy and all his warnings about the communists inside the government and elsewhere. But when we saw the capital really start to crash, the American economy was starting in the 70s.
Yeah, that's really true. And early in the interview, you mentioned about the creating that bubble that let you to depart the country with great sanity. And if you look back, man, the whole Enron bubble, the now, you know, the tech bubble, real estate bubble, and now you've got this monstrous student loan bubble. And instead of the person or citizens who are experiencing this literal parasitic feeding, they're like, oh no, you're an anti-Semite, you're a racist, you're a homophobe. I mean, why can't people think?
Yeah, I can't answer that one either. But we just have to fight through it. There's no other choice. But, you know, we've had a great gift this week, and that was Benjamin Netanyahu. You'd all send a thank you letter to Benny. He was nice enough to congratulate Joe Biden, and how we're looking forward to working with Joe Biden. And, of course, I think we've all heard now that Trump said he did what? And unfollowed not just Netanyahu, but also AIPAC. And I think that sends a message. You have to understand, we're not Trump. I mean, maybe you guys are. I don't want to speak for you, but I'm not Trump. I'm not a Trump guy. I'm an anti-Jewish establishment guy that understands that ultimately Trump is, at least on the face of it, a nationalist. If he didn't get out 71 million votes, guys, we're screwed. Okay? We're screwed. The fact is, he overwhelmed their fraud with massive turnout. He did that in 2016. He got like 5, 6, 7 more million this time and overwhelmed the fraud even more. So without a Trump working to do what he does, we would not be here today doing what we do. This is my honest belief. You've heard them saying, we're going to make lists. We're going after you. With all the how many people... I haven't had a YouTube account in years. I haven't had a Twitter account in years. I have not been able to even work socially. I can't use Facebook because it's for family. I don't want to lose connection with my family. They're stuck on Facebook. What do I do, right? So I'm not able to even communicate out there. What makes you think they're not serious when they're going to be making lists? Why would anybody not take them seriously?
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, what I'm seeing is that Joe Biden is going to do the job that Hillary Clinton was supposed to do in 2016 if he succeeds in getting in office. It's going to be the destruction of the country. This is the most vital moment in American history, at least in the 21st century. It's an incredible moment right now.
It's fascinating because... I mean, not that we're big, okay, guys, but we have been leading this message, as you guys know, for a decade, okay? What we were saying in 2013 was fringe Lululand. Okay, we were like way out there. Okay, we were like this. Okay, except for Jews don't do stuff like this. They do something else. I don't know what. Maybe they twirl chickens. I don't know. But it ain't okay. But now look, our message of a decade, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And now Benjamin Netanyahu, just thank you, Biden. He just told 71 million Americans, go F yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think we can't use this one to our advantage now? Oh, I'm like, thank you, Mr. Netanyahu. You're a wonderful, smart guy. And you know what's funny about Benjamin Netanyahu? I was in military. I was at what's called Milipol, military police show in Paris in January, I think. I forget which month it was. Maybe November. I think maybe November. I went to the show, right? And it was November. So I'm going around and the Israelis are everywhere, man. The Israelis are loud, obnoxious. No, they're like rah-rah teams. Like, yeah, you know, if it's anything about Israel, like, yeah. They're like a foot. They behave like a bunch of sports fans relative to their country. The Israelis and the Jews, they know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm not making anything up here. So like, yeah, Israel, yeah. So I go up and I walk up to these people. And they say, well, you know, like, I would like to do this. I said, I don't think I can do business with you. And they're like, why can't you do business with me? I said, well, first of all, I'm in Saudi Arabia. They said, so? You can try. I said, no, wait. Second of all, I'm American. And you guys made it illegal for me to not do business with you. How freaking obnoxious that is to have you and your people tell me I have to do business with you? That's how insane you guys sound. And they're like, ooh. I said, now listen. You know, I said, now listen, look. What the hell is up with you people in Netanyahu? What are you putting this clown in for? And they're like, then their shoulders just drop. You know, I'm like, we don't like the guy. We can't get rid of him. We don't even know who's voting for the guy. He's been here forever. I'm like, huh. Benjamin Netanyahu must have met the Joe Biden campaign team here. Because now they're like on the same team. Nobody knows who's voting for the guy. But they're both trying to get into power now. So, yeah, it's the case where I think with Biden, Netanyahu pledging some type of allegiance and Trump saying screw you and screw AIPAC, this is going to open up a ton of things. And of course, now the normie person, which you could call out there, they really are starting to grasp the vicious hate coming from the left, which from me and my point of view and others like me is coming from Jews. Okay, look, who's throwing the white supremacist crap out there? It's Jewish media tech people. Who's throwing out the neo-Nazi? Oh, let's go bash a neo-Nazi. Made that fashionable. Jews made that fashionable. You didn't. I didn't. The Mexicans didn't. So let's just call America for what it is. The ones spreading the hate in our country are the Jewish people. They're the ones that think everybody should be beat up and lose their job and lose their home because they're, quote unquote, a neo-Nazi because some punk Jew said so. Okay? That's what people, the normies, have to start to see with their eyes. Yeah. That the problem here, the hatred here, ain't from the anti-Semites. It's from the Semites, okay? And we're anti-Semites because we see what the Semites are all about.
Well, and those are two largely non-existent, you know, threats. I mean, there aren't that many neo-Nazis out there or white supremacists. It's an imaginary concept for the most part.
Well, I would agree with you on that, except for I mean, I agree with you on that. But I think the perception among Joe public, it scares the hell out of them to listen to our message. Because they don't want to be defined as this. And or as it's a label they're actually afraid of.
That's a good point.
Interest their own country to a usurping foreign power because they're afraid of a name. It's the most insane and insidious cowardice I've ever seen.
So true. And what's crazy is for now nearly 4 years, we've been hearing, how could Trump have been elected? How could he have been? We just don't understand it. It's so anti-American. Well, actually, it's not. the great majority of the silent majority of the so-called flyover states are populist, are nationalists. They love the sovereign republic of the United States of America. They love what America represents, and they do not want to become part of the North American Union. They do not want to have a globalist control. But what's so sad is they don't then are not able to make the cognitive leap to who is the villain in this, who's trying to do this to you, who is the weaponized minority. And until they wake up, I don't think this is going to go well.
What can I say? I agree with you guys. You know, obviously we're on the same page for the most part anyway. So yeah, I agree with you guys. It's not going to go well. The main thing for, I think, the world's holding their breath, guys, at least as I talk to people outside the country. Today I had many people come here and wish the American people well. Okay, Saudi citizens. Really, it almost makes you want to tear up a little bit, because these are people that really are wishing the American people well, because they understand just how serious and dangerous the situation is right now. And they just say, we really hope everything goes well for you guys, you know, because they get it. They understand, you know, they're not stupid people. And so, you know, we obviously want it to turn out well, but I honestly don't think we can let it go all that well. Guys, we had frickin' massive voter fraud conducted by who knows how many operatives, financed by who knows how many corporations, and we're supposed to just say, oh, it's okay, let it go. No. They're like, well, you know, let's have peace now, and, you know, let's have healing. That's the side, right? After 6 years of this crap. And are we supposed to say, after you got half of their key voices saying, we need to make lists? You've heard some of these Jewish people, guys. They want absolute revenge for what Trump has done. What the hell has he done? Again, this gaslighting bullshit from the Jewish community. What has he done to the Jewish community? He gave you frickin' Jerusalem. He gave you the Golan Heights. He gave you anti-Semite hate speech laws. What the hell is the matter with these people? They keep giving all, what, you just, what? Why don't you just admit you want America for yourselves? Screw the Goyim, okay? Why don't they just come out and admit it?
We're getting close to that, Dennis. I really believe so. I believe that Biden will irreversibly destroy the country if this is allowed to continue. This is the most serious situation I think America has ever faced.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I really do think, though, that if it does go Biden's way, you're going to have 71 million ungovernable people.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to submit to this anymore. And people like me are going to say, listen, your country was taken over. This is a hostile takeover of your country. And you have every right to remove this power base under any necessary means. And if that means you're going to take 25, 50 people into the courthouse and drag these people out, you have that right. You do not have to, as the American people, submit to a usurping foreign power. And you can consider these corporations usurping foreign powers. They did not get here without us granting them certain rights and privileges. And now they want to deny us, the American people, the same rights and privileges that were granted to them that allowed them to rise to the heights that they have today. And Americans are supposed to just sit back and say, okay, where's my mask? Okay, Biden. I just don't believe it's going to happen, quite frankly. Now, it might. Maybe the American people aren't nearly as tough as I think they are or can be. But I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of great pockets in America. Let's be honest. We are a huge country. We are essentially a red nation with pockets of blue. It would not take long for the American people to organize and just cut off these blue cities. We're going to have a truckers protest starting, I think, November the 29th. And I would like, quite frankly, I would like to even speak to some of these leaders and say, hey, look, what's your plan? But they should look at a way to send a clear message what's going to happen. if they continue along this path. Los Angeles, blue states, they're going to starve. We will lay siege to them as the American people. Remember, they are literally surrounded. They're going nowhere. They are surrounded by red. No matter what they say, they are surrounded by red. It would not be difficult for Americans to lay siege to any pocket of resistance to the American people.
That's a great point, Dennis. That's a really great point. You know, what comes to mind when you said that is, you know, I was watching the election coverage, and they had a map of Michigan, and the whole state was red, and there was three pockets of blue, Detroit and two other areas. And it was unbelievable. Yet Biden won.
Yeah, and that's really what's happening here. I think what's happened on it, seriously, the Democrats, they're not winning crap. We've just accepted that, oh, the Democrats have this base. We've never really called the cards. Have you called the cards? No, I haven't called the cards. Nobody called their bluff. So they've been going in where they have the big populations. They basically control the state through the big populations. So essentially we're being governed by a bunch of childish lunatics in cities when the entire country basically is just good, hardworking American men and women that want nothing to do with hurting anybody. But they also don't want them coming into their areas and hurting them equally, which is what is happening. Their policies. And here's what else, guys. You look at this level of corruption. Now, I say to the American people, listen, you want to know why you have a problem now? Because there's been a coup d'etat upon a coup d'etat upon a coup d'etat upon a coup d'etat all the way down to the micro level of this nation. In other words, when they steal a city from you, that's a coup d'etat against your right to govern that city. When that mayor turns around, appoints his health officials, and that health official is some fringe lunatic man who thinks he's a woman, dresses up like some of Lucy character show, and she's going to dictate to the American people what is proper health to the nation. And they're being subjected to this crap because of a coup d'etat? Because they didn't win anything. The American voters have to stand up and say, hey, look, no more, we're going to call every freaking single card you put on the table. And in my opinion, coup d'etats are not fraud. They're treason. And it's like an external enemy. They are serving external powers. They aren't serving the American people. That's for damn sure. We don't know who they serve, but they're serving somebody, but it's not the American people. So let's assume it's an external power. This is treason. And the American people have every right to hang every frickin' one of these treasonous bastards by sundown tomorrow if they want to. They have this right.
What are your thoughts on the so-called culture wars? It seems to me as though allowing everyone's individual free flag to fly with this gender fluidity and this effort to make pedophilia acceptable is, again, an effort by these treasonous parasites to create a new Weimar Republic. This time it's Weimerica. The good people you mentioned, the majority of the United States don't want this, and yet it's being rammed down our throats.
Again, I think at this stage now, the media has proven to be part of the opposition. We technically have always been considered the opposition, okay, from our positions. We've always considered ourselves the opposition. We're the dissident media. Okay, we are the dissident media, but we're not the opposition. We're 71 million people. If we ally with this, this thing that is Trump is not Trump. It's bigger than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than Trump. It's the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of essentially those who really believe in the American idea. That's my opinion. Maybe you disagree.
I think the number is bigger than 71 million. You have to factor in the 100 million who are so disgusted with the two phony parties being controlled by the globalists that they no longer vote. And all of those people will join with the 71 million patriots, nationalists, populace, I believe.
I would agree. I honestly think that this base, like you said earlier, Giuseppe, earlier in the show, is a weaponized minority that may be between 7 to 9% of the population, with a little bit of extra fluff floating around it, maybe 10 to 12%. Where we're talking about a movement now that clearly is one third of the population of the voting public, okay, eligible voters, and clearly controls the vast block of this country. We are not in the opposition. We are the power base. It's time for the American people to stick up and act like they're the power base and turn down this communist insurrection, head on its feet, and literally start dealing with these traitors.
Yeah.
That's such an excellent point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That begs the question of when will the military, who are loyal to the sovereign republic, when will they act? I mean, I can tell you, my wife has worked with a fella for years. He's being groomed to be a high-level Pentagon leader. He went to the war college last year, the year-long war college. That's where they send the elite that's going to get to the general level and lead the Pentagon. And he's a libertarian. He's an amazingly cool guy. And, you know, it seems based on him and his compadres, they just think this is all silly, you know, madness, that they don't see any threat to the sovereign republic. But I haven't figured out a way to broach this with him yet, but I think there is a threat.
Well, I don't see how he can actually be in grooming with that stupid mentality. I got governors telling you how many people you can have in your freaking house, and you don't see a threat to the republic? Really? Mm-hmm. Are you that stupid, dude? Yeah. Seriously, be like that. I would be that direct in this guy's face. I said, I just had Governor Newsom tell me I can have 3 people in my room. I have to go sanitize my bathroom every 42 minutes. Just to, and you're telling me there's no threat to my privacy and my way of life? And you're telling me you're going to be a military leader for us? Dude, get the hell out of the military. We don't need snowflakes like you. I need tough guys right now. Okay, we need tough, tough guys in the military, in the everywhere. It's just what it takes. And I'm not saying we got to be stupid here. We're a very smart Western people, okay? Without getting into saying race and all that. We're really smart people. We have a lot of support from minorities. Don't let it kid you. Yeah, we got these very vicious baboons, whatever you want to call them, running around in Chimptown. I know, that's a racist thing to say. I don't care because I'm tired of watching it. I'm tired of listening about all the crimes blacks commit against whites. Let the media chew on that one for a while before they talk to me. But we got tons of Mexicans, real live Hispanics that love America more than a lot of these Americans do. And for us to turn away from these people at this time is rather stupid. This goes within many other ethnic areas. The reason why we have this advantage is because Trump knocked it out in Hispanic Florida. Okay, he knocked it out of the park.
Right.
Okay, right. Let's work with our allies, but let's not give up our country.
Well, and here's, you know, I live in Ecuador, and, you know, a lot of Hispanics, well, that's kind of a bogus term, but depending on what country they're from, people in South America and Cuba and many parts of Central America are well aware of the communist threat and what that really represents to people's freedom. And that's what we're looking at, is a bunch of essentially communists that want to control every aspect of our lives, and they plan on using force. And so I think you're right. The Hispanics are quite well aware of what the threat that we're facing.
Yes. And we need it, obviously, to, you know, leverage every benefit we have right now. But people in America need to understand they are no longer in the opposition. They are the power here. We know damn well, Biden didn't get anywhere near 75 million people. Okay? We know that. He's lucky if he got 10 to 16 million. He's lucky. Lucky. This is a case where it was an unfair match. They probably, like a sporting match, they just spotted Biden 50, 60 million. Biden, we're going to spot you 60 million on this one to make it fair. It's a handicap race, okay? I go into something with a golfer, I'm getting 30 handicap and the golfer's getting nothing, okay? And that's what happened to the American people. Biden was handicapped on this thing. And people need to wake up to this fact. There's no 70 million blue wave out there. Give us a break. There's just a bunch of angry little punks running around from city to city, bust from here to there, that if push came, ever came to shove, they could be mowed down in a day.
Yeah.
Okay? They could be mowed down in a day. And they're very lucky the American people are so nice and kind, because in other countries, they would have been mowed down, or they would have been rounded up. Half of them would have disappeared. The other half would have been whining to the Jewish press, oh, they're not being fair. Oh, they're not being fair. Just because the people got sick and tired of their bullshit. It's not like we haven't been very kind and generous and understanding of their position.
Well, that's true.
In, man. They went in with the NBA. Okay. Ooh. Lives matter everywhere. What? Okay. NFL, NBA, all of these massive Jewish assets are being thrown into the fray. They're willing to sacrifice Hollywood to make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
Would risk. All right. You know what? Let's stop making movies for a few years and screwing the goyim that way. We need to get this country back, man. This Trump guy is trying to take the country away from us, and he's doing a good job. So let's go ahead and give up these assets. It's like a poker game. Jews went all in, man.
Yeah, Giuseppe's been saying that for a while. I agree totally. Yeah. And, you know, part of the problem is just, Fetch, is that, you know, the Americans are good people. And I think it's hard for most of them to understand the kind of diabolical, you know, nature of these people, these chicken swingers that lie, cheat, and steal in every regard to their life. And that's what we're facing. I think it's hard for people to see that.
Yeah, I agree. What the Christian community and the white community should understand about Jewish culture is they really don't believe in an afterlife.
That's right.
They believe that the most important aspect is the quality of their journey here on this planet. So they don't have the altruistic ideals of doing what's right for mankind. They only interested in what is good for them, because this is their journey.
Yeah. Well, Fetch, thanks for coming on, man. That was an awesome interview. The hour just flew by. Thank you. Okay. Take care. Talk soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.